Jammers.
Wait, what's the show?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And
hey,
Stephen Penta. And
real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh.
I mean, like, it's Selfish Health.
Jammers.
We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want. Julie's the comic who introduced me to underwear sales.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
You were like my
panty. You bought me some cheese.
Yeah. We both went
cheese shopping.
We stumbled down this long path of sex. We started out at the bottom.
Yeah.
And now we're slightly above the bottom.
Right. It is funny because we were both trying to think of ways to make money. And yeah. I was like, I found something. Look what I'm doing.
Wait, how long ago?
I went on that
last year, I think.
Yeah.
Last April.
Well, we did that under that weird one when you were visiting. Was that the first one you did? That was the first one you did. When we went to the Rite Aid parking lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy asked to buy your shoes as well.
Yeah.
That sounds about accurate.
Yeah, I met him in the CVS. Every time I went
to CVS.
Megan's the only friend that I've ever been around where I have to go do this sex work thing.
I think I know this I think you've mentioned her like, oh, I got to turn this.
Yeah, well, because we did like, it was when I was the first time I ever hooked up with anybody from the Seeking Arrangements website was the day that Megan came
yeah,
over.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Last year.
Yeah, it was very relaxing. It was very...
Oh, dude, they're putting that in the documentary. I forgot to tell you, Megan. That clip? Yeah, they're putting it in. They're putting the clip of you going, I have a mother. They're putting that in the documentary.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Do our Jammers listeners know the story of all this? I feel like we don't really talk about that.
I know.
On this podcast.
It is very strange because every time I go on any other podcast, all they want to talk about is sex work, panties, yeah. Seeking arrangements. And here we're trying to keep it clean for our tender.
Oh, for the children, mean, for would, our child would, listeners?
I don't think this is about keeping it clean.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, well, we're going to get into today because Julie's the woman who got me into it. The yes. panty selling thing.
I got another person into it too.
Who?
Another mom. But she also went straight to like, I don't know, she didn't stick with panties long.
Yeah, well, you got to go into other shit because once you do the first thing, you're like, oh, this is easy.
I think I'm the only person that was like only panties, and then I was like elevating to weird stuff.
Yeah. But no, wait. Did you have anyone that you had as kind of a mentor to walk you through this, or did
Nadia,
you just kind of start?
Nadia,
Googling?
I found. So the funny story is Wendy and I were in a play. Remember?
This is how the song got started. We were doing a play.
I remember this.
And every day, and in rehearsals, we're like, should we start doing webcam stuff? Should we make out on camera? Should we get wigs?
Julie and I both needed money, and we were doing this
desperate.
Play, and we're like, what are we going to do for money?
For me, it was post-Christmas. I'm like, I spend too much on my kid. And so I remember I had to get a tacky bridesmaid's dress for the play. So I went on Craigslist, where you would go. And I was in the used clothing section and I started to see a couple ads. And one that stuck out was Nadia, who was selling her pantyhose and her underwear. And I was like, Nadia, what are you up to? So I started making videos about Nadia and like selling sexy panty for sexy smell, $100. And so then one day I took my bra off at work because I can't stand wearing bras. I hate wearing bras. And I was like, huh.
Oh, babe, let's just hang out braless together because I am with you 1,000%.
Right now,
I'm not wearing a bra right now.
See, right now I want to take mine off, but I'm trying to be, you know, I don't know. I should just do it. But so I take the bra off and I was like, what if I took a picture of the bra and put it on Craigslist? Will anyone buy it? I did get one offer, but I wasn't quite serious about it then. And then one day I was like, let me just see what happens. And I put an ad out for panties and then it just went from there. I was like selling one or two every day for a while. I think I was starting, there must not have been too many at first. And then it got saturated. And
I mean, there are like, I have my entire life living in New York, I've had at least one friend selling their panties at any given time.
So I don't know if Craigslist was the place. I know a lot of people do it online.
It used to be only Craigslist. Yes. And now I feel like there's a lot more
Well, it got really popular. Remember?
Maybe I was just the new girl on there. I don't know why, but and then they were like, this is too expensive. I was like, you don't know panties.
Wait, what is the price? What was the price at the time for?
I went with 50 for a pair because I would meet them in person. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you get to see me in real life and I'll take them off in the bathroom. They're fresh. So online, I think it's less and you have to draw all these pictures and videos. Like, that's what I looked at. And I was like, I have to mail it. What a pain.
Right.
And I didn't want to have any like tracking of, I just felt like this is actually more anonymous in a sense. And I would just go to different Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would just have to figure out who it is.
Plug. Yeah. See, now I did Gregory's Coffee. I didn't do Starbucks. I went to Gregory's. I went to more.
This is a real Coke Pepsi challenge here.
I went to a more upscale place. Well, that's where I got my pricing was from Julie. And it was the same, but it's like anything. If you keep the price higher, you get people who are serious and they're not going to be scummy. Yes. I mean, besides the fact that they're
okay, hold on. They are buying panties.
So they're all a little scummy, fine. But you get a better quality of scum.
They're in an expensive suit when they show up.
Can I ask you something that's been kind of bothering me? Because actually, they recorded a financial dominatrix on Guys We Fuck this week. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to reference the other podcast, but it's super on my mind because I was listening to it and I was like, what do you think the men, what is happening societally that men need that kind of like, that men are paying for panties and then really delving? Because now I feel like we're seeing this extreme level of financial domination. Mm-hmm. I find that really fascinating because just as a man, I'm kind of like, what is happening as a society to these men that's creating that fetish? Or is it something that's always existed and I just don't
I
have
think
that?
It's, yeah, I'm going with the latter, Stephen. It's something that's always existed.
I think
like,
so
the
too.
Dudes that want financial domination, like those are dudes that probably have like super crazy jobs. Like they're on Wall Street, they make loads of money.
So they get off on it. Spending time with these people and interacting with them, what do you think it is they get out of it?
I can tell you what I think about panties. My take on it, because I talked a lot to a lot of different people and I kept it at length for a very long time with most of them. And I would elevate in like these weird ways to kind of not be alone with them. So what I would learn, because we would talk more, is they would, a lot of them are married. And I think this is a very rational, like it's a way of rationalizing spending time with another woman. Well, I'm not cheating, but I'm with someone. That's one thing. And they're mentally engaged.
It's an innocent way to do a very deviant thing.
Correct. And another thing that I was told is you are the good girls of the sex industry. So although they wanted to take the panty person to the level of, you know, having a sexual relationship, they felt more comfortable engaging first on the panty level. And I think a lot of that had to do with the idea of like, well, we're actually getting to know each other. So you're going to choose to do this with me because you like me. So mm-hmm. Which is that whole thing. Because men don't want to feel like you really are just there for
them. That's much more satisfying than like a stripper or something like that. Because you have to pass a test. Right. And that shows that someone actually likes you in some way.
Right. It's like anything. It's like when you're serving eggs to people or if you're a barista or any customer service job, you're pretending to give a shit about the person so they give you a good tip and they come back. Yeah. So it's the same with the panty thing. But these guys, they wouldn't comprehend that. And so you'd be nice. But then you and I had a conversation about this. It would get to the point where they want to spend more and more time with you. Yeah. And I had to say like, look, I'm going to have to charge you for this because this is my time.
Right. And that was kind of the interesting thing because I was like, I also researched the scent fetish because I wanted to know more about that. And they weren't all fetishists when it came to scent. I mean, that was just really a small percentage. So I learned a lot about that, but I also kind of realized like, you're playing now not with someone physically. Like if you meet someone, you have an escort, you're just having sex. You see someone beautiful, you have sex with her, whatever. But when you're doing scent or you're online and you're just sending pictures maybe or whatever, you've kind of entered their mind. So that has a much stronger hold, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you're not even doing anything physical with them necessarily. So you're playing with this mind game and they really get caught up in it and they create this image of who you are. And they're like, I need to touch you. I need to do this. And this one guy I refused to meet personally because I just didn't want to be alone with him. And I was like, you can touch my hand. And then he would kind of play this bratty role. And it just worked well. And if they tried to push it, it'd be like, well, that's just not what I do. If you want to go get an escort, you can get an escort. which I don't have a problem with that, but I would play it that way so that they would be like, no, that's not what I meant. And it was just this really interesting dynamic that we that I created with them.
It is. It's more, it's just like, it's a mind game.
Yes.
That's your, and that can be exhausting when you also have a job and a child and are a comic. Yeah. You can probably tell if you're listening to this episode of Jammers. I mean, up to this, you can probably tell why we have Julie Katakis, our guest. We have her here to teach us about time management. I mean, I don't think I had to say it.
Now, Wendy, I feel like it's redundant.
Right.
Like, clearly this is a time management episode.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Well, this is, because we've got, Steven set up this great website for us, jammerspod.com, and we got a blog going, and Megan and I are like, we want to make videos, and we got to do a blog, and we're doing all this stuff. But we're having a hard time, like, as far as like scheduling and getting finding time to do things. And I was like, who do I know that is the closest thing to a superhero with this stuff? And it's Julie Katakis.
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Cause
hi.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Call me a hero.
Yeah. So like, give us just a breakdown, and then we're going to go, like, what'd you do today? What was your schedule today?
So I always wake up really early, so I have downtime to myself. So I wake up at like 6 a.m. every day. And then maybe 6:30, and I just make coffee and I sit and either like, I just zone out. I play like a dumb phone game, whatever. This is my time. And then I have to I wake up the kid and make her breakfast. And then I have to walk the dogs. I have another dog that I'm walking right now. So I walk her to school, I walk the dogs, and then I have to get to work. So then at work, first thing I do.
What time is work?
I'm supposed to be there at 9-ish.
Okay.
What time do you get there?
9:15 at the earliest. Yeah. Close enough. So then I always make a point. Like, I have to write in the morning, I make a point to write jokes, whether it's like social media jokes, but I make myself do it. It's like the routine. I have to. And it like gets the whole thing going.
Right.
So that's the first thing. And then I do some actual work. And then, I had to write, like, I have to write episodes for this one thing I'm doing at, you know, like the scary mommy thing. So like, I allot time for each thing. So then I give myself so much time to write. Cause you have to like, make sure you don't overspend on anything either.
What is Scary Mommy?
It's a parenting website. So I host a web series on there. It's called Madge the Vag. And every episode is about vagina stuff.
Love it.
We did Kegels. I got waxed. I got, I got a vagina facial.
Ooh.
Oh, you did the Gwyneth Paltrow thing.
Yeah, it was complete waste of.
What is
did
that?
Did you shove a jade egg in there too?
No, I didn't do that.
Oh, you got to do that.
I would.
I mean, you probably shouldn't from what gynecologists say, but it's all the rage.
Yeah, I just laid on a table and they like blew heat onto my vagina as a lady was massaging me. That's what I did.
Your vagina? Was she massaging your vagina or just
no,
you?
No. I would do that though.
Yeah.
Happy endings for women. There's like a whole thing, but they weren't into the idea. Anyway, so yeah, she's just like massaging my shoulders and my stomach. And I was like, oh.
Do you pick the topics for that? For the scary mommy
thing? I've offered topics and they have topic ideas. And then
all of your topics are, and then somebody jerks me off and they're like, Julie, no, all of your ideas.
And all my ideas, like, I know this is crazy, but.
What if I get vajazzled? So they put jewels on my thing. We love it. And then somebody just stop it. They just cut the call off.
You know, they're always like, okay. They just ignore half of the things I say. And we did vibrators. By the way, if you don't, the womanizer and the satisfier is like the best thing out there right now.
The womanizer, is that the one that has the suction?
Yes.
I've heard about this, but it's a very expensive investment.
I know. And my friend
How
got
expensive
it.
Is it?
250. Oh, yeah, 250.
We know about some sex toys. Yeah.
Does it have a warranty?
It's really intense. I mean, it does. They say they guaranteed orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
And very that was the pitch. Too. Like, if you're a non-orgasmic woman, this is the thing.
I believe it. It's like it simulates sucking
Your
clitoris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a little nervous there. We had to do an accent.
Clitoris.
is that a different orgasm than?
I have different orgasms. I have vaginal. I have the clit one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have like a few rub around. There's three different ones.
Yeah.
Do you have anal orgasms from like?
I will. Is this too much if I say that I squirt from anal orgasms?
No.
No.
I have. I said
you
on
just crossed a line, lady.
Episode over. You can only say it if you tell us how much time it takes you to do in the day.
Yeah. Keep on topic. Right. Steven will yell at us if we don't stay on task. Right.
So the scripts, I write out scripts. I give myself so much time and then I don't let myself obsess over things because you can't.
Right.
There's no time for that. So, and then I do some more work and then, whatever. So I got to pick up the kid, do the stuff with the kid, get her to bed. If I have comedy shows, lady comes, take care of the kid, do the shows at night. I usually zone out. Sometimes I do writing. Videos I usually do on the weekends.
Okay.
But the key to videos, I think, is keep it simple. I see people go nuts with like, we got to have so many people in it and then they have camera people and all this stuff. But I think it's more about content than.
Yeah.
Like,
well, what time, how late do you work? How late does your work go?
I work until 5:30.
Okay.
And I'm out. And anything, I'm always like, I keep to the schedule. So if people are like, oh, can we do X, Y? Like when I was selling panties, I was like, I work from this time to this time and that's it. I'm not going to go beyond that. So
right.
I just stick to my schedules. And I think, like I was saying before, the more you have to do and the more you like obligations you have, like the more you end up doing. Cause I'm like, I only have this much time to get this done. And then, so I just like put it all in an order and you have to stick to it.
Right.
Just gotta stick.
Almost like a shark. Like if you stop moving, you'll die. Cause that's the problem is when I stopped having a day job, you wake up and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And for the first week, I find you're super productive. The first week without a day job, I was like, this is amazing.
Right.
And get up and then it's like, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna free write for the first hour, and then it's just me fucking around stretching. Do you know? and you get things done eventually, but I would
keep pushing it off too because I know like I don't have a cut time where like the kid, I can't do much alone when the kid is there. Like I have, you know, like that's her time. I need to be focused on her. So I'm like, this is my time, and I have to do these things in this time, and that's final. I feel like when you're more engaged, you do a better job. Cause I took the bar. She was already born. I was like, I only have this much time to study. And I ended up passing and I studied a lot less than everybody else.
Oh yeah. Julie took the bar. This is an actual.
Yeah. Let's not gloss over that. That's not just a throwaway line. Like, oh, so I took the bar. But, I passed.
But the point of that is no one else had kids and they were at school studying together, but they were wasting time. So they were there from morning until midnight or longer.
Right.
I studied just during the day.
And if you dedicate, if you focus on the activity that you at hand, when like if you're engaged, when you're then you absorb the information because you're like, this is just that time.
Yeah. I feel like you're just more when you don't have like if you don't give yourself tons of time, you just like focus and you're like, you get it a better product out because you're like, this is what I have to do right now. And it's going to happen right now. And that's that.
But now can I ask you, because the issue that I have is I've been working myself for years now. And the problem that I always have with scheduling is because I'm doing creative things, sometimes creative things just take longer than you want them to,
sure.
You know, like I schedule out, okay, X amount of hours for this podcast mm-hmm. or this video thing or whatever. And it's all based on billing too. So I really need to be able to accurately figure out how long each project's going to take.
Oh, okay.
So how do you deal when you allot, you know, a certain amount of hours for a video thing? If you're trying to work on a viral video thing, mm-hmm. you think it'll take 2 hours, then you get super into it and it winds up taking double that.
Yeah.
How do you find the extra time or how do you shift things around to account for when you're just off with how long things will take?
Well, that certainly happens. And I think because, I mean, so your day is your day. And so when things take longer, I have learned to cut myself out off at like a certain point, just be like, I have to get back to this later and sometimes refocus in order to kind of like, sort of condense it to what it should be. Cause I don't know. I think it's easy to fiddle around and like things tend to take longer when you're not sort of focused on cutting it off at a certain point. So I'll like leave something and then just get back to it later. But that means that I have more time at a different time to work on it. If that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
But I think a big mistake is just letting yourself kind of go and go and go and go.
Yeah.
There's something to that where you end up wasting tons of time.
Well, and that's part of my problem because I kind of work as like, I find that I do a lot of my best work when I'm kind of in that last minute going crazy late at night mm-hmm. kind of thing. Like that's honestly when I've done some of my best stuff. Mm-hmm. And because I know that about myself, I allow myself to do it even though it makes me into a crazy
if it's
person.
Your if that's your best performance, that is some kind.
Yes,
sometimes
but what if
it
it's
is.
Also making you miserable?
Well, yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, see, that's the
so you have to figure out why. Like, why does that pressure make you do better? I mean, what is it that, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the root of that?
I mean, that is the $1 million question of the way I work. That's the thing
that
if I could.
It's the focus thing. Because
I do, I need the pressure of deadlines. So I'm always setting premature deadlines for myself and then making myself crazy. But then when I fail to meet the deadline, I get real depressed because that's my default setting.
Yeah. That's an important, I think you just said it though, because everything for me, I'm rushing everywhere all the time. Like my one goal in life is to just like not feel like I have to be anywhere at a certain time and just like stroll. Like I never understand people that walk slowly. I'm like, oh my God, don't you have anywhere to go? Don't you have to pick up a kid right now?
Yeah.
So I think everything is like a deadline for me constantly, every day, everything. So I'm like, I gotta get this done.
Preach. Right.
So you've got, so Steven's got that part down.
Yeah.
He's like, I give myself deadlines. I just don't meet them.
Yeah, exactly.
You have the first part down. But like you said about if you get, or if something's taking too long or you get stuck on something.
You gotta walk away.
Yeah. Well, it's like Megan and I, when she was in New York and we're writing down like, okay, different ideas for videos and things for content. We got stuck on one episode and we're like, what can we do for that? We don't know. And it's almost like, you know, when you're taking a test and I try to do this, especially with creative stuff. That's one of the things I find. It's so insane because when you're working towards a job, working totally in a creative field, you're like, I can't wait to get out of my day job. But then you realize the good thing about a day job is you can show up hungover, zoned out, and make juice for people at Whole Foods for 8 hours. Mm-hmm. And it's not a big deal. And you're like, well, I can clock in and I did that. But then it's like to wake up and be like, okay, have a really good creative idea and find a button and a callback and the perfect piece of dialogue. You're like, oh, I should not have been drinking last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Different. You know? Different.
And so, especially with creative stuff, because there's this weird balance of like, you have to sit down and do it.
Yeah.
And get it done. You can't always like just wait to just be inspired, you know? And so if you get stuck on something, like when Megan and I are working, we couldn't, and it's like, we got to move on. It's like when you're taking a test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just move to the next question.
Yeah.
You move to the next thing that you can do.
And I think
otherwise you'll just waste time.
And it's also like, you have to work the muscle. So even if it's not on what you want, like I'll just write about anything, like whatever comes out. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like, I get on these weird rolls, like on Facebook, I was writing about circle jerks for days, but I just kept going. I'll never use anything about circle jerks, but it made me think of other things. So it like kind of helps you, even though you're not writing about, which I don't know why I was obsessed with circle jerks, but it like kind of opened my eye to like, oh, that's the thing that I want to kind of focus on now. So you just got to like use the muscle, even if it's not on the exact thing at the moment.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah, you're so good about that. If you guys don't, Julie Katakis, follow her on Facebook.
It's so weird.
Her Facebook stuff and your Instagram and those videos. Julie does these characters constantly. Is coming up with new characters. We've had her do it live.
Oh, God, that was so fun.
On Glamour Puss.
The Kathy Kegel.
Yeah, it's insane. And she does, and I remember before I met you and realized that you had a kid, I was like, this bitch is doing so much. And then I was like, oh, she has a kid and a dog and a job with her in an apartment. I got to get my act together as soon as I finish jerking off into these panties.
Well, I helped you, and that's a great move.
I know.
That was great. That was such an easy... I paid for summer camp with that panty money.
Yeah.
Summer camp is very expensive.
Respectable. Oh,
I've never been.
That is fucking mothering.
I do my best.
Yeah.
It's like, here it is in cash.
That's so bad. You paid for it in cash with all panty money?
I could have, but I didn't. That would have been weird. So I put it in the bank and then I paid them. Yeah. But I paid it
all
in once.
That is a badass thing to say.
That would have been real if you just showed up with an envelope full of cash, like, this is for my kids' summer camp.
Wrapped in like a pair of underwear.
For sure.
That's your tip.
Go ahead. I wore them 2 days.
Oh my God.
For free. For you.
Look, I'm going to do this because I like you, all right? Yeah. I want you to treat my kid extra nice.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
So now with all this kind of stuff going on, do you have time to date at all? Are you dating anybody or what? How do you work that in?
So the thing is, I don't have, like, relationships are not my thing, but they never were. So it's not like I'm sacrificing here. I'm not a relationship person. So
what's your longest? Just curious.
Oh, 30 minutes. That's how long it takes to sell a pair of panties.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus, Steven.
Yeah. How long does it take to get a cappuccino in the Starbucks code for the bathroom?
Right.
Because
that's about it. Honestly, it's so sad. I'll tell you. But a year and a half to 2 years, but it was from when I was 18 to 20. That's how long ago.
Did you have like a real emotional connection?
No, I mean, we were kids. And it was actually kind of... awful, and I don't blame him, but I never really stuck around again with anyone. That was it.
Cue the sad music. We're gonna cry. Yeah.
No. Yeah. But
everybody tears.
This is when we're selling our panties. We got cash coming out of our asses. I haven't had a real human connection in 14 years.
Connect at all.
But anyway, I spent like 15 minutes a day free writing to go over that.
Really? Yeah.
I try to write. Go back to when I work on writing jokes on my day job.
There's always a sadness underneath a darkness. But yeah, that was it. And then now I don't really have it. I don't know. I just don't want to. Or if I did, I think it would have to be an open relationship because I would get bored very quickly. I like open. I think the open relationship is perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a respectful, open, honest.
I think men have a harder time with the open relationship. When I talk to men about
1,000%.
I think men have a much harder time with that.
That makes sense.
As much as they talk a big game.
Well, they're fine with like, I'm going to fuck who I want. But as soon as it's like, no, this goes both ways, motherfucker. Then they're like, whoa, hold on.
Well, but it's also every couple I've talked to, it's always it starts even, but then it's much easier for the woman to actually execute. Mm-hmm. Because I think when you're flirting on apps and that kind of thing, like it's difficult as a guy who's, I'm in an open relationship you have to have some serious game to pull that.
Yeah, it doesn't really fly very well.
I'm not pulling that off. Like if Christina and I were open, Christina would have men lined up. Yeah. I would just be like, hey guys, I'm out here.
But they wouldn't
cry
be
in my sheets.
Oh yeah, well, I'm going to a coffee shop with this girl and we're going to talk about Morrissey.
Yeah.
So get jealous, Christina.
Is that what you think my dates are like?
I hope so.
Oh, a thousand percent. That's what I think your dates are like.
More. I know. I just wish I could start singing the Smiths.
I wish you could. Just do it anyway.
No, that's
you don't have. You can learn how to sing.
No.
Okay.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus. I thought we
that'll be another episode.
We have a double-decker bus.
Oh my God. It's terrible. Oh my Never God. Do it again.
Bit of a vibrato though. That's nice.
Not getting me laid in my open relationship.
No, that wouldn't work out though for that. I don't think so. I think you'd have to do like a couple's, and it's called a throuple. Like that's the new thing. Like you add someone to your couple.
That's exhausting.
But I agree. Then that's like just a relationship. Like, who needs that? So. But anyway, I do a lot of nooners because that works for me.
What is the nooner?
Lunchtime, I try to like date people who don't live too far from where I work. I'm like, hey, what you doing? And then you bang it out during the day. Or I'll do it after a show or before a show. Like if it's geographically, you know, good. I'm like, hey, I'll be in your neighborhood. What's up?
See, I love this because this is very time efficient. Because she's like, what dick is nearest my office right now? Because that's the one I'm going with. I love
bad
that.
Ass.
It's kind of like on one hand, I'm like, yeah. And then on the other hand, it sounds kind of like... it's not as mechanical as it may sound, you know, but when I say seeing someone, I don't mean like emotionally, but I've been seeing someone for many months now and he's bisexual. Mm. So I don't think he's looking to like just be with someone, but we also have a nice like emotional connection without the fear of it becoming something more. So like, I know he likes dudes on occasion and I'm fine. I don't care. That's fine. And then I don't feel obligated to only see him because he may not be available at the time and geographical location I need him to be.
Every morning I send a group email to all my dicks.
Hey, this is where I'll be today.
Right.
These are my cross streets.
Let me know
the rest of the week.
Who can do
it? Let me know.
Leave the group if you cannot meet today, just to make this more efficient. And then I noticed that I was just doing this. So like I have a sex person that's just sex and he's more of the dominant type. And then I have my bisexual guy who is really quite, that's a good deal the whole way around, but not asking for too much. And then I have a single dad friend who we go to dinner with our kids. The kids play, we drink, we have this wonderful relationship, but we don't have sex. And we talk about like other people that we see, but it's like, I get all of the stuff.
That's like a good bonding parent. Relationship.
Yes. That's amazing. That's like you're getting is smart.
From different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone knows kind of where they fit into your world and everything's communicated.
You have to be really honest, you know, and I'm like, sometimes I'm like, well, I'm a mom, you know, it's hard for me, da, da, da. But everybody kind of knows and we're all fine with it. And there's no, issues. So it works out nicely that way.
That's you're the most fucking New York bitch. You're the most fucking New York. Like, I'm busy. I got shit to do.
It's an appealing thing because you don't talk about like someone always being like, eh. But it, you know, like I only go so far. So I, part of me knows like I probably should try to love, but one day, I don't know, but this feels good. I'm like happy with it. I'm not unhappy.
Yeah. You're happy. Yeah. So who the fuck cares?
It feels right to me. I don't, cause I have friends that are like, I can't do the casual thing. I'm like, but why? And then they always want more. He doesn't call me, and I don't. And they're like chasing. I'm like, but then it's not the right person. You got to get in the good zone. Anyway.
But then I noticed you have so many characters. It's kind of overwhelming. When I was doing my Googling just to kind of like catch up, I'm like, oh, this is way too much to consume. But I feel like a lot of your characters are these kind of archetypes that are. I don't know. Where does that come from? Is it different sides of yourself? Because you're doing all these things and you bounce it. Like,
I've noticed that. That was one of the first things.
What you see first and then
so I'll. When we met and then I would start watching your videos, right? And these are super funny. Well, like with the Nadia character, that was before Julie and I were talking to anybody. I think Megan was the only person I told about the panty thing, but Julie and I were not telling anybody. It was super down low.
That was in the beginning. I don't know if I sold a panty yet. I was just like thinking about it.
Yeah. And I remember, and then some of the characters, when I've seen you do them, I see little pieces of yourself that the release is through this character and you can go all the way. And then people are like, gosh, that's probably it, you know, and it's very funny. But then I've seen little pieces where it's a fun, it's like, it's so fucking cool and it really is like an efficient way to like, it's therapeutic. So you're having the therapy and the cathartic process of getting that part of you out. Mm-hmm. But then you're also making it into a fucking hilarious video to put on the goddamn internet that people laugh. It's crazy. You're knocking out like three things at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then people are never sure like what's real and what's not. And I don't always want to be like, you know, yeah, this is true or this isn't. I like them not knowing.
But as an artist, you don't need to divulge that. You don't owe people shit.
Right. And if you think it's real, fine. That's fine. I don't care. If you don't, that's also fine too. It doesn't matter to me. But I do like let it out that way. Because someone was doing this GoFundMe thing and it really bothered me, but I didn't want to be a dick to her about it.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah.
I already know what it is. I heard about it.
You know, right. And I was
all
like,
all the way this here in Los Angeles.
Terrible thing. It was, well, in my, I was like, this is ridiculous. But I, at the same time, I'm like, I don't know this person. She could be delicate. Who knows? I don't want to be a dick.
No, she was in a real fucking expensive outfit the other night. All smiles, gave me a big hug when I saw her.
I knew it. And then, so I made a GoFlanMe, which is so stupid, but I was pretending people were sending me flan. And I just went off on GoFlan jokes. And I was like, oh, I let it out. But no harm done.
That's great.
It's like I deflected, but I let it out.
Yep.
And we all had fun.
The way that I deflected that was conversationally when it happened. And somebody told me about it. I actually don't give that much of a shit because it doesn't affect my personal life.
Sure.
But when I found out, I was talking to Dan Perlman. He's the one who told me about it a while ago. Mm-hmm. And we're like, dude, this was my joke for the night at the creek. People go, how are you? Be like, hey, Winnie, how are you? I'm like, oh, sad. Can I have $5? That was how I got that out just for one night. But the go flan me.
So stupid, but I was like, that's how I deal with things.
Do you put all these characters, do you have all this stuff on a YouTube page? What are you doing for the marketing of this?
So I did put my favorite things. Like I tried to put it in, like a reel, if you will, but a lot of, I think some of I did it myself. So, but I have them all kind of YouTube. I don't get really any views. I'm more of a Facebook person, but, I have them all there just so they're logged in and I put them on a website and then I have some like in a reel so that it's kind of set up the favorite ones that I like and pieces of the ones I like the BJ guy BJ art. The Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes.
I have that whole thing about BJs.
So funny.
And it's really about her giving BJs, but it's about the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. But anyway, I put the favorite ones there that I liked.
Yeah. Together. We did a really fun one. We did a Kathy Kegel one. It was me, Justin Perez.
You guys are so fun to do that with.
That was really fun making that video with you, but it was intense.
So what's the process when you're making this? Is it crew, or is it just, are you doing everything?
I do everything. And the reason why is because it makes it more simple for me. So if I deal with everybody's schedules, usually it gets too hard and I have the kid, then it just gets a little too complicated. So for me, keeping it simple is the best thing to do, and doing it by myself is just easiest. And then time-wise, it's easiest and I'm done. For this Kathy Kegel thing, I wanted to actually have a couple. So I did two couples episodes, and she and Justin President. I just wanted them to improvise because I knew they were funny. And I thought it was really funny.
Dude, the one with Justin and I, we were very impressed with ourselves, the way we improvised and came full circle. But Julie runs it. Well, this is why Megan, when she was in New York, we did make a video. So Steven makes very fancy videos, right? So he does all
your high level. Yeah, I'm like,
his is really
people,
good.
I need to get people to pay me to make videos.
Right,
so.
Right.
Megan and I also want to contribute. And so we made a list of videos and we're just going to do it on our phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, and Julie runs it. We made a very cute video that we're going to put out. It's very funny and we like it.
Beautifully shot. Yeah. I do say so myself.
I bet.
Oh yeah. Megan was running the camera. I was the one hanging the curtain rod. Thank you. Yeah. Wow. Get ready.
I don't know. It was more like a hammering situation. I don't know if there's really any hanging of curtain rods.
Yeah, it's pretty great, but we're going to send it to, we like probably just send it to Steven to edit and do stuff like that. But you do. So Julie does
editing.
Does all this shit on her phone and she runs. I'm amazed at how much energy you have. And I want to talk about what you do for like your diet. I'm sure you're not drinking as much as we are, but like, the energy on a weekend with all the shit that she does, we should have to shoot this thing. And she's running it like Scorsese, like here's the shot. Here's this. It was so fast and efficient. Yeah. And then the editing, how long did that take? How long did the whole video take you?
They usually don't take me too long.
Can I ask what you're editing in?
I just used my iPhone or iMovie.
And then iMovie. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that's not I know the higher tech ones.
No, but it's for a phone.
And it's easy and it gets what I want done. And a lot of editing is instinct. So I'm not doing anything super fancy, obviously, because I tried to use a green screen once and I really loved the video. It's called, about being a funeral comic. She puts the fun in funeral. And so it was really fun to do, but you could see the mistakes with the green screen because I don't have a lot of
stuff. But we got to cancel.
That kind of video no one cares about.
Yeah, it didn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. So just like, put when it you're out throwing out a concept like that, yeah.
Well, so hold on. So Megan, should you and I cancel the crew? We have a whole green screen being set up in both of our apartments right now.
Really? I was going to say, my entire apartment is being painted green as we speak.
I was actually like, I should just paint a wall green. That's so much easier. Get some lights. But it's good to do because we've all
I don't want to geek out too hard. I mean, no, we could talk about that off air.
Yeah,
talk
about equipment.
You really want to get into the nerdiness of green screen? I've done a ton of it.
Yeah, I think lighting was an issue. Anyway. But just do all the editing myself. So I've done some that has literally taken me a half an hour at most. And they get some, one I did, it took me 15 minutes and it got like, now this is not viral, but like over 4,000 views very quickly or something like that. And I was like, see, 15 minutes, 4,000 views, that works out.
What was it that set that one apart?
It was when Trump came out with the pussy grabbing thing.
Ah.
And I just did a quick line, like in this accent about a little IKEA and grab my pussy. And what I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was just a quick thing. And it just went in very
But I feel like so often with the way... everyone's staring at their feeds and everything moves so quick. Yeah. I almost feel like the value is in being able to look at what's happening in the world.
That's the
churn something out like that and just get it out first.
Yeah.
And fastest.
So now did we make a mistake? So Megan and I, we have this list of things and we wanted to be perfectionists because Steven does such a good job. Should we not have spent $10,000 on acting coaches?
Oh my God.
We've got
each.
We separately, because we were like, okay,
I bought a red camera.
Gonna say that was not necessary.
God damn it.
I
have a lot of credit cards taken out right now.
Yeah, we're trying to do a good job. We had the one thing.
We just want to impress you.
I know, we're just trying to do a good job and then get stuff done. Now, I will say, we're actually more productive when we're not together.
I was just going to say, 1,000%. Working with someone, I think, doesn't work. We just end up hanging out or talking. Like, we'll come up, we'll get something really great together. One great thing in, like, I don't know how many hours. We're like, we really had fun. That was awesome.
And then you celebrate by drinking.
Yeah, there's always drinking. Before you start. We should just get some beer. And then everybody has cigarettes. And I'm like, oh, I don't buy them, but I'll take one. And then we're, like, not doing anything really productive.
Yeah, see, and I'm not drinking. Normally on camera with Megan, we have a drink together, but this is what we did when Megan was here. We worked, and it's like, you work and you're like, oh, great, we got this script and we knocked it out, and now let's celebrate by having a drink.
Right.
And then that turns into karaoke at 4 a.m. and then the next day you're like, should we work?
Nothing gets done.
We're just taking turns vomiting in the bathroom.
Yeah. It's so funny
because 5 p.m.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm out with you guys at karaoke and I'm like, don't you guys want to try and make something viral now?
You're
like,
a group worker.
No, I'm a workaholic.
No, he's okay. Well, no.
Let and I'm a perfectionist. And the
he's
problem
sober.
Yeah,
I'm
sober.
That does make a difference. Yes. That makes a huge difference. I drink, but I don't drink.
I can't imagine how you would drink and then wake up at 6:30 every day.
Yeah,
and have the day that you're describing. That seems insane.
The only time I drink in excess, which is like meaning 5 beers, is a lot for me. And that will be when I'm with my single dad friend and we stay up really late and they're like sleeping. We're like just drinking. But I usually don't drink a lot. Just at like shows where I get free drink tickets. And that's usually a max of 2.
Yeah. Now I have a question.
You got to get paid.
That's what, I'm not going to not use it.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm not doing this shift for free.
I'm not going to get it like traded in for a soda either. Come on.
Yeah, Steven. Should not drink.
now it's my club sodas because we cut out sugar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
All the joy in my life.
Oh, God. That's a tough one. I did that for 1 week and I was like, oh, I don't crave it anymore.
But I was just sad.
I was like, this is like a gray world.
I'm still having a hard time.
Yeah, that's like
time.
When me and Wendy quit drinking for a week. Yeah, we're like, I feel great, but this sucks.
I lost weight and then I was like, oh, okay. I don't crave, but I just felt like this is so boring. Like I want to have sugar.
Now, I want to hear your panty process.
Okay.
I love it. How long did it take you to jerk off in the panties?
Yeah, because what would you do? So when I did the panty thing, because that was as far, because I would do that on my lunch break from my day job.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they want like fresh cum. So now would you go in the bathroom at your job and jerk off and make yourself squirt into them? Or how were you able to do that?
Well, I have two tricks.
Okay.
One, just lie. They don't know. They're just, they will. I spit on a pair of panties once. And I was like, they're so wet. But I can do this is funny, but if I just finger myself really hard, I'm not like enjoying it that much, but if I go in the bathroom and do it really hard for like 10 seconds, I squirt. So I can on demand squirt into a pair of panties, but it doesn't have necessarily, like it has a nutty smell. I don't know. I don't know if it's what they're looking like. A cum smell is one thing.
Right.
A squirt smell has a different scent to it. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to describe it exactly.
It's partially urine. We've had this conversation with Steven before. Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
That's the nuttiness.
Yeah,
that might be the nut, but it doesn't smell like pee.
It's the nuttiness. Oh, no, that's just because I've been eating peanut butter all on my 15-minute break, and then I get a quick demand.
I just eat peanut butter out of the jar with the same two fingers I jerk myself off with. It gets all mixed up.
Right. Some guy would think that's so hot. He's like, oh, my God, and then you put it in your mouth. All right, so that was not so hard for me. I would just do that. It's called stuffing. You just stuff them in there, and then...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. So then you just put it in the Ziploc baggie and you're done.
You remember that from what?
From you standing in my kitchen doing that.
Stuffing it up in there. When I was ovulating. Oh, yeah.
They love ovulation. Yeah. Some guys love ovulation.
Oh, yeah. I did that
when my boyfriend was like in the shower and Wendy just went in the kitchen and looked at me, took her underwear off and shoved them inside of her. We just listened for the shower to turn off and then she ripped them on out real quick.
And that's the thing is when you're working multiple jobs, and I think, you know, you got to respect all jobs. It's like, hey, I'm not on vacation.
No.
Hard work is hard work.
Yeah.
Work is work, frankly.
You know, I use half of their tub of coconut oil and I'm like, I'm going to have to buy them a new one at some point. And the only way I can see to make money when I'm on vacation is to jam things in my pussy.
Right.
and then sell it to a stranger in a CVS parking lot.
CVS, it's like the creepy.
You should have sold those shoes. You would have made more money.
Yeah, you were in the car with me.
Yeah, I was in the car with you.
Yeah.
And he was a very nice gentleman. And then he asked if you had any old dirty sneakers. And you were like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm actually on vacation. So no,
yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah.
Never I managed to sell shoes. I sold socks.
Yeah.
A couple times. And once I had like knee highs on. That was a thing. And he went under the Starbucks table and grabbed my foot and started sniffing. And I was like, oh my God, people are going to see this. Like, this is my... my big Starbucks. I can't get kicked out here. Slow down. But yeah, so I didn't do a lot of feed stuff. I tried.
Now, how do you with the dudes with the, and I know I know we both got out of the panty game because it got too commercialized.
It did. And girls were not charging enough and they were selling them at packs at a time. And I was like, they're doing this all wrong.
Right.
So there was market saturation.
Yes, there were. And they were not smart about it. Guys would be like, this girl sold me 3 at once for 20, like something like that. And I was like, well,
they're effectively just breaking even.
Yes. It didn't make sense. And I was like, well, that's not even, she's not respecting the fetish. She's obviously not doing it right.
How serious we take our jobs.
Yeah. No, but I mean, do you feel like, because this is, I feel like this is a popular conversation like, in New York circles.
What a tramp. She doesn't care about you like I do.
I did say that. So I was like, she's trying to pull one over on you. She doesn't understand the fetish. I do.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, I was like, you're underselling yourselves. And I wish I could have reached out to them and been like, you're doing this all wrong. You get so much more. Offer one picture and say for that, $75.
Right. Like, this chick just wants you for your money.
Yeah.
I want you for a little more money.
I want you for you.
For you. Well, do you like this too? And I was like, of course I do. I really think this is so exciting. I love, you know, a boring job during the day. And then in the middle of the day, just like handing some stranger my pants. Honestly, I just wanted the money. But I was like, right. So
but part
exciting.
Of it is it's like stripping in a way where it's just eroticizing the experience.
You have to make them think
you're
going to
make
it.
More in tips.
Well, it's like anything.
It's like anything that you have to. Yeah, it's like me fucking selling somebody eggs and then I hand their dumb baby the check and I'm like, is he paying? And then I get a 25% tip.
Yeah, you have to act like I really want to make you this latte. That's fucking comedy. You show up and that's I think. And that's all the stuff you're talking about, which is interesting. And it's good to like re-remind ourselves because I think people know this, but when you're busy, when you have a lot of shit to get done in the day, and especially there's this weird thing with motivation to get anything done. That's why I think people like with a day job, that's a nice thing because you've got to be somewhere at a certain time. Otherwise you will be fired and have nowhere to be.
Right.
Or, you know, you'll have no place to live because you will not have a job. Mm-hmm. But with everything else, like, whether it's a creative endeavor, if you're like, I want to start writing a book or I want to paint or I want to go to the gym or I want to do whatever, I want to sell my fucking underwear. You have to have people a lot of times are just waiting for motivation. Like, well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
But even with stand up, but like everything and all the stuff you're describing, everything is just like, even if you're not in the mood, just fucking do it.
Because then you get
yourself.
Like they say about the gym, which I do not go to. But if you go to the gym once you're there, you don't have to
when you're jerking off.
Yeah. Violently in the bathroom.
Violently. Just. But that's true. And then also an interesting thing when you're like selling something, because I only have so much time, you're like, I can't meet after this time. And then you're like more in demand.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, I have to get it now. I was like, yes. You do.
Sense of urgency for all
you don't get it at all.
For all the people that want to get into panty selling out there who are listening, and they're probably, there's like, oh, do you want to be a writer, comedian? Hold on, wait a minute. What's this thing where I just shove things in my pussy and give it to strangers?
Pays me? I'm into that one.
Right. Yeah, you create a sense of urgency because you have to be like, you can't waste all
time. Oh, you must be popular. Yeah. So that would be like the whole thing. But it did escalate, right? Because they always want more, of course. And then they start to think they like you or whatever. And so I started selling my urine to them in cups so they would drink it.
Like a sealed cup? How do you transfer?
Stop it. I love that.
Because they were like, I forget how I got in. Oh, somebody else suggested it, but we didn't meet up. So I would say it to other people. And all you have to do, the mind is a funny thing, plant the seed. Mm-hmm. At first they'll be like, that's crazy. That's disgusting. And the next thing you know, they're like, I really want to try this pee thing. I'm like, of course you do. Huh. And then, so I would meet me at the Starbucks, go order yourself a coffee and get an extra empty cup. And then I would take the empty cup and I'll be like, go to the bathroom. Then I would bring it back and be like, drink up. And then,
would you watch them?
Yeah. And I was like, you have to finish everything in that cup. and I want to see.
I tried to do that once.
Yeah.
And here was my problem, was planning out the hydration for that point of my day. And then I got really nervous. That's, I mean, I could go, do you know, I got stage fright.
Yeah.
And I was trying to drink a bunch of water all day and then I just didn't plan it out properly. Mm-hmm. And so then I couldn't get it to come out and it wasn't enough. And then he was going to drink in front of me anyway. And then I almost threw up watching him. I was like, I can't watch you do that. It's that, that to me was.
It is kind of disgusting that I had a close talker. And I was like, you need to back up.
Oh, God. After you drank your pee.
Stop it. He wanted to talk closely to me. And he also was like very much into like, how's your health? And I was like, my health is fine. You can't get anything from urine. It's unlikely. And then I didn't know it, but I apparently had a UTI once after he drank the urine. I had to have like, I had one 20 years ago. And for some reason I got one. And I think I was like, I think I might have one. And I filled, so I peed halfway and then filled the rest with warm water.
And he was smart.
Like, and guess what? He was like, this was the most amazing cup ever. I was like, yeah.
You're like, yeah, because it's watered down, asshole. Watered
down, idiot. But they'll be like, I can taste this. You drank a lot of water today. Or they're like, oh, what did you, you know, it's just ridiculous stuff. I have a craving. I'm thirsty. I'm like, ugh. But,
does this change the way that you approach and think about all men?
No. I mean,
that's the
I
thing
actually
that-
have grown, I think, more of a sympathy or understanding for men. To be honest with you, it actually helped me understand more about men. The ones about the pee and the stuff, I'm kind of like gross, but I think I was more sympathetic and understanding. Also, even with like men who are married, seeing the how complex it can be and just men, how they operate sexually. And I just feel like I have a better understanding of men. It didn't make me dislike men. Actually,
you know, a lot of men talk to me about that they just feel like there's no place. Like they think all these things, they feel all these things. There's no place for them to talk about it. There's no, you know, and it's weird because I become the person they talked about it because Christina talks about me.
Oh yeah. So they
it's a very strange sidecar.
They're like, this weirdo get me.
Yeah. Like, but no, I mean, and because they know that, you know, that I dated a porn star once, they assume they can say any fucked up thing to me.
Well,
and I honestly, like I enjoy that because I hate bullshitting conversations. I hate dumb surface bullshit. Yeah.
You're like, let's just talk about our assholes.
Probably why we're such good friends.
Yeah, because that's a
right.
Yeah, it's but boring, but if you come up to me and you say like, this is this fucked up thing that I fantasize about, I want to know all about that.
Yeah, me too.
Now, but here's something that I also find interesting, and this so you're doing all this stuff. The fact that you're a mom. Uh-huh. And not even just the time management, because that's a huge thing. The fact that you get all this shit done is honest to God amazing. But then how do you emotionally compartmentalize? How do you go right from you wake up, you're walking the dogs, hanging out with your kids, you're writing jokes, and then watching people drink your own piss. Mm-hmm. And then, right? And then you go like, sweetie, what are we going to do after school? Like, how do you not have a nervous breakdown?
I think she to me is just a piece of love. So like she's where all my love and hugging and emotional and physical, like one thing, a lot of, so this is just real quick. I've had Ray, she was on my, I, you know, was pregnant on my own with her. I gave birth to her on my own. So I didn't have a man there at the time. So I didn't know what it was like for women who had a kid. And then like the sex stops, apparently there is a hormonal thing that happens with that. But, so I noticed though, because I wasn't seeking it out, because I was like, I'm not going to go out dating. I have an infant. That's ridiculous. But there's so much like physical comfort that you have with a child, and you're just cuddling a lot and you're holding them. And there's all this love and affection that kind of takes the place of it that you don't need it from other people. Mm. So when I see her, it's not like, I don't know. I was like, oh, I did that. That's weird. But that's not me entirely.
Right.
And she's going to do weird stuff too. I know that, and that's fine. But I don't know. To me, she's just like, ah, there she is. This is my love, my piece of love. And then when I'm with her, it's just all about her. And then, you know, so I don't know. It's just, I guess I don't have any trouble switching.
Oh my God. Is this like, she's not a real person?
Yeah,
no, she's not a real person.
I really am like,
yeah, that's the only time it freaked me out. Yeah. When I'm with other parents, I'm like, oh man, if they only knew.
Yeah. Now, is there any way, because did you have an issue with the panty guys and then with your public persona as a comic and people crossing boundaries there?
Not really. I mean, I kept pretty anonymous. One time a guy was like, I saw a flyer of you at Bunga's Den, which is no more anyway. And he left me alone. He tried to like Facebook friend me. And I just was like, yeah. And I, you know, I told him I don't feel comfortable. And then he got annoying and I just blocked him. And that was that. And that's it. He left me alone. And another time I went to meet someone and they didn't show up. And it was a really hot day and I was really annoyed. And I messaged him like, I really wish you could have just, you know, told me you weren't going to come. It was super hot. You remember last summer? It was very humid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I was standing out there. I'm all sweating. It was very
rude. It's good for panty sales though.
Yes, it was. I was like, that was one really good sweaty pair of panties. And he was like, the truth is I recognized you. And I didn't want to make this embarrassing for either of us. And I was like, not embarrassing for me. Who are you? He wouldn't tell me, obviously.
And he's like, oh, no, I just meant me.
Yes, I'll never know. But I'm like, well, you know, I have no shame here. He's the one buying them. So it didn't bother me. But I was like, man, I wish I had could have figured out
it,
who it was.
Judd Apatow.
He recognized me.
This is going to be very weird.
That's more exciting. He recognized you. That's so cool. Yeah.
But for the most part, I like talking about it. So, the one thing I wanted to tell you was because I wanted to explore certain things. Mm-hmm. And can we talk about the strap-on story?
Let's do
it. I think we all have a strap-on story.
Please.
Good.
So, Megan, do you have a strap-on story?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, come on. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Do I actually get to call you a nerd for once?
I mean, I've like done things with dildos, but no, I've never.
Megan, you'll
invest.
Have
I don't have the money to invest in a strap-on.
Well, that's
Steven.
A good point.
You'll have a story because I took a video of when I used one, and I'll send it to you, and that
took
could be your
video
story.
Of it. That's
perfect.
Fantastic. That's pretty amazing. There's video footage of you doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I'm gonna say.
I'm afraid
about
I would have looked ridiculous. So the first time was my shining moment. Like I did everything right. I felt really great about it. So this is a panty guy.
Okay.
Right. So we meet for the panties. He's super weird, but I could tell harmless. So a lot of you got to use your instincts, you know. So he's telling me about another woman he used to see. And he was like, yeah, she used to, you know, use a strap-on on me. I was like, really? I'm so curious about that. I have not done that before. And I was like,
was that something that you actually wanted to do just sexually kind of on your chest?
Yeah,
that was
I did.
The fastest yes I've ever heard.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. But most guys I knew did not want me to do that. And they didn't even want a finger, nothing. And I'm not going to pressure, you know, whatever. I don't have to do that. But I,
if you want to be a bitch, I guess.
It took me a long time to come around.
Yeah. It's a process.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that was something not until my late 20s.
That's going to actually be your strap on story, Megan. It's a surprise. We're going to fuck Steven with a strap on.
Finally. We've been emotionally fucking him for so long now. I just wanted to really do it.
That's the real reason I wanted Julie here. Cause I was like, oh, you know, let's bring someone on. Cause I think this is a good topic. Something I want to work on is time management and like Julie's mm-hmm. kind of one of my heroes. So this will be good to talk to somebody and help me refit. But the real reason is because I knew that she would double team Steven with me
so
in front
excited.
Of you.
I feel like you guys are double teaming me every day.
Oh, yes. I love it.
We're double teaming your heart.
Well, so
with our dicks,
double teaming your heart. I actually had a joke about
the name of your ska band.
Yeah, it is. There's a ska band for the episode. We're trying to get
double team your heart. It's the episode of the ska band.
It actually sounds nice. It's like very catchy.
Yeah, double teaming your heart. That's a ska band with a great sense of humor.
I love it.
Real good horn section too. Real good horn section in that ska band.
Well,
okay,
so
back to the story.
It's important to note that I was playing around with doming men for some time here, too.
And how far were you taking that?
Well, I would say a few months beforehand, I had my first real experience because I had been doing the submissive thing for a while and I learned a lot from that. But I was like, I really want to do the flip because I find it very hard to be submissive. It's not easy for me to sub.
In your personal life, just are you default dominant submissive?
I actually think, surprisingly, a little bit more dominant. I like being pleased. So I'm like having the more dominant role. So it depends though. There will be a guy here and there that I'm like, oh, I just want to do all the submissive stuff.
Yeah. Too. Certain people make you want to switch.
But it really has to be the right person.
Yeah.
But honestly, I could dom anyone. And I thought that was like a really eye-opening experience in the world of men. Cause I was always like, how could he be with her? She's not even attractive. He doesn't even like her. And then I realized when you're not doing anything, I don't have to feel much. like it's kind of, I'm much more open about who's down there doing, I don't know. It's just like a different kind of perspective. So yeah. I was experimenting with it a lot online, and then I had a guy come over when my kid wasn't there, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I blindfolded him, because that, you know, gives you a little bit like more leeway if I'm like, what do I do? But the whole thing was, I was just trying, I kept stopping myself from going down, like sucking his dick, because that was just my natural.
That's your move.
Move. Yeah, I'm like, I know what'll finish this off. Yeah. I mean, that's so easy.
We're women. That's our go-to. Just like, how do I end this interaction so we can sit down? Well,
it's just, yeah. I just want to go have a sandwich and a beer. Right. That's me saying that.
I'm like, he's going to love this. He's going to think it's amazing. So I had to keep stopping myself. And it was just like this really cool moment of not realizing how submissive I've kind of been. Acting. So anyway, so I did that, and then I just wouldn't let myself go down that route, and I kept attracting all these kind of sub dudes, and then it just became a thing. So anywho, this guy's like, this woman used to use a strap on me, and I was like, I would love to do that. He's like, really? We'll get a hotel. I was like, no, we're not going to, because I didn't want to go into a hotel with him. I didn't really like the idea of that. I was like, no, I don't want to do it in a hotel.
We're doing this in my home where I eat and serve my daughter breakfast. I am a decent human.
I was like, where else can we do it? And he was like, how about my office? And I was like, yes. Because he's a lawyer.
At the top.
So he was like, we'll pretend that you're my client. And I was like, oh my God, this is getting better and better. And I was like, it's perfect. I feel safe with this.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's going to go out of line. I mean, we're in his office. I was like, this is sick. Cause he was kind of weird. So
yeah,
I go to his office he picked an empty office. And, so I first like used it on him, like to suck it.
Mm-hmm. But now, so how big of a dildo?
It was big.
It was big. But he'd done this.
He'd done this before.
Thing. He does
this.
And he had all the toys. He had everything lined up. You just had to show up.
Yes. Yeah. Because I didn't have all the stuff. So then I first like started making him choke on it and stuff. Because guys love doing it. Like I was face fucking him.
Yeah, I know.
I loved it. I was like, yeah, I'm choking on it.
Were you holding it or did you have it strapped on you?
I think at that time I had it in my hand. I had one, like he had a couple things. So I had one in my hand and I was like shoving it down his throat. He's like, oh, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And then it was strap on time. And I was like, I bent him over his desk. And then I started doing it. I used lube. And then I started fucking him with it. And I was like,
I'm not a monster.
I'm like, no, look at me. I'm caring, nurturing, obviously. And then I started saying all this stuff. I was like, you like that? You want that? You like that cock? And I just kept going on and on, like all the stuff that men have said to me. And I just kind of did the whole thing and grabbed his hair and I did the whole thing.
Did you call him a dirty slut?
I called him everything. I was like, it just all came out. And I don't know that I would do that like with my, like a person that I enjoy intimately. I think it would be more, I would be more sensual about it. But in this situation, I didn't like him. And I was just like, I'm going to fuck the shit out of this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to know who's boss. And I was like, you know, I was just saying all the stuff and it was just so empowering. And I left, I was like, amazing.
Yeah. When I did that, up to hit. It's the same. It's so like, it's a really fun. Wait, but
now with that guy, does he do like more bisexual stuff? Like, does he, because I, I mean, we can go into my thing separately. I don't even know if you would have, how deep you would have get into that. But
I don't think he did. I think some do, but yeah. I think for many men, they're just into women, but like doing that.
Liking butt stuff doesn't mean you like dudes.
Well, my thing is it took me a while, I mean, late into my 20s until I really started exploring butt stuff and getting into that. But my default, I'm super dom. Like in the context of my relationship with Christina, I'm hands down just the dominant person. Mm-hmm. So when it came time to get into pegging stuff, it's a little weird because like doing that, like hold you down super rough, like suck this dick kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's not,
you're like,
that's not the dynamic of our relationship.
I do want to get fucked in my ass, but I'm the dom here. So yeah, I'm going to do it to myself.
I'm
going to
get fucked in the ass like a man. Fuck you.
You don't move. You just stay still.
Right. You watch.
And I do fantasize about her pegging me. Like, but it's in a very specific feminine way. Like it really is. It doesn't change the dynamic of who I am. It's strange because you can do as a straight man who, I mean, so if I was gay or bi, that would be fucking awesome. I would be amped, but I've explored all those possibilities and it's not what I fantasize about. It's not my default. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of her pegging me, but then in reality, it did not line up with me mentally.
Well, the guy that I see in real life, I wasn't like that at all. Like when I did it, I was just like,
so you pegged
making
the guy
love to that, his butt. Yeah, yeah. He's like, I'm making love to you right now.
making love to your butt.
That's the other name. Oh my God.
Well, that's another the first single.
And the title of this episode.
Right. Making love to your butt. That's the first single off of Double Teaming Your Heart.
Yeah.
And to him, I was like, record. Is that okay? Does this feel good for you? Are you all right?
This is like, much more my experience.
Yeah. So that yeah, was different because I liked him.
You cared about him. Yeah.
But that was his first time.
No.
But no. He was experienced with it.
Yeah. He was experienced with it. But I have a different relationship with him.
Right.
I didn't like the lawyer guy. And I was like, I'm going to tear him apart. I was just really excited to be this dominant force.
Also hot. Like,
yeah. And he loved it. Yeah. But it was a very different thing. But in my head, I was like, this is my first time doing it. And I kind of want to do all the things men have just assumed that I would have liked them to do. Right. And I didn't necessarily like it. And I was just kind of letting it out on this man. But he was into it. So it was okay.
So when you're doing so with the lawyer and trying to stay on theme of the time episode, I'm watching the time that we're recording. Say, look at that. I'm trying to say, yeah. I'm staying so on message because I know you have like, we could fuck around and talk to you for hours, but I also am aware that you have a child. Do you have any spots tonight?
I actually don't. Okay, and my cool. mom is here, so I'm not like pressed for time.
Nice.
So using the word of the episode. I know. And pegging and time.
Right. It's like with the lawyer guy. Was that late at night? Was that after a show? How do you work that with your daughter?
I only did the lawyer guy was a panty guy, and I got paid to do that, which is technically illegal, but it doesn't matter. Apparently, any penetration, even in the mouth with a dildo, is illegal. Did you know that?
No idea.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Like to get paid for?
Yeah.
Or just, that's...
To get paid for it. Yeah. So
I thought you were just saying like it's in the state of New York, dildos are illegal.
It could be, you know.
It could be a fun law.
Someone that you are a lawyer who has actually done sex work. Have you ever... Sex workers are so in need of decent, compassionate legal representation. Huh. Is that something you've ever thought about?
I haven't actually, but...
Because, okay, here's a question. Mm-hmm. I used to date a sex worker, and for example, when she would try to rent an apartment, they would gouge her for an entire year's worth of rent.
Oh, because she doesn't have...
Because she legitimately pays all of her taxes and everything like mm-hmm. that, but she owns her own companies and does her own thing, and it's out in the open that that's what she does and that's who she is. So, you know, there's a lot of legal gray area with things like that, yeah. Doing things that are completely legal, but no one will represent that. And even when it is someone, it's not... Sorry, I'm getting off topic.
Give her another job that she has to cram into her day.
She doesn't have time for this bullshit.
No,
she's barely
I know.
No, her job.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Because you can work in the sex field legally.
Yeah.
Like the panty thing is legal.
Right.
You know, and like dominatrix stuff is legal. But mm-hmm. people do kind of view it in a certain way and will, you know.
It just hit my nerve the way you said that because it was like, oh my gosh, she's a lawyer. She's thinking about the legal ramifications.
Yeah,
of
I was
all
very careful. So when he, like with the lawyer guy, it went during lunchtime.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, we only have so much time.
Oh, wow. You did that in the daytime in an office?
Yes. That made it even cooler. There were people working in other offices.
Man, you are the coolest.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Because I was like, if I'm going to do something, I want to make sure when it came to this, and this is the very important part of any kind of sex work, even if there's no sex involved, where, you know what I mean?
Right.
You have to not need to do it. If you need to do it, that's when you get screwed over or men are taking advantage of situations or you're going to walk away feeling gross. So I always did stuff I wanted to do and was happy to do. And this was a fantasy of mine. And so I was like, you can gift me later. So technically it was
not consensual.
Yeah. This is totally consensual. I wanted to do it. So, you know, it's all how you say things like just like those seeking arrangement sites. One might say, how is that legal? Because it's not done in the fashion of you're going on the,
developing relationships.
Right. And he's very different.
And the terminology.
And the way that it's, you know, how everything's transacted. It's not like a transaction. It's totally different.
Right.
So it's just all how you word things. But I was very careful about that because I was like, I don't want to do anything illegal. And I think mentally that made me just feel like, okay, that makes this all nothing wrong with drinking my pee. There's nothing wrong with this.
Right. It's
like,
yeah, that's whenever I sell panties, when I just want, I'm like, I mean, technically, This is not illegal, was my pep talk.
It's not. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Wendy, because I don't always believe you as much when you say it.
I know. That's because I don't. I also believe it. Yeah. But I lied. Most of my existence is lying to myself. And I'm like, no, this is fine. It's probably fine.
It is funny.
Also, that helps with time management if you just lie to yourself that everything's going to be fine and you're getting stuff done. You just lie to yourself.
You waste away the whole first part of the day fucking off. And I wrote down a couple of notes and it's like, you know what?
And you're I got work done today.
I know.
I got a lot done.
I was, you know, a relaxed mind is a creative mind. And so this is part of my creative process is staring at a wall, just doing stretches on my kitchen counter, talking to my cat. That's part of.
It's all rationalization.
Yeah,
exactly.
The one other person I told about it when she started doing it and she was telling me stuff and she was doing it on credit. Anyway, as she was telling me about it, I was like, wait, you're ruining this for me. Cause she was going into the bathrooms with people, which is fine, but it was too, like something about it ruined it for me. I was like, oh my God, I'm just seeing myself for what I am. I'm a person who sells panties in bathrooms. It just ruined the whole thing for me. And I was like, I can't do it anymore.
You can just outgrow it.
Yeah, I think I got sick of it for the most part.
I feel like that's a comment about the size of my panties and I don't appreciate it. Okay. when Megan was here, we went out to a lot of cheese places and I don't appreciate it. I feel like that was a slight.
Cheese place.
We both have been shitting our brains out.
Oh, haven't stopped shitting since I got home.
Oh, I took 3 huge shits today.
Nice.
And if it was back in the day, I would have put them in a bag and sold them to somebody. But hey.
I told you that story.
Yeah, you did tell me that story. And I didn't want to bring it up on air. Look,
I've never said this story to only her.
Yeah.
The only person that knows this story.
You don't have to tell it.
I don't mind telling it. I don't know. It's very funny.
I think it's a very funny story.
I want to hear it. Whether you want to do it like on the podcast or not, now I need to hear it either way.
We're getting a lot of information. I love Julie and all your stories, but this is still on message with the time thing because you had a limited amount of time.
I did.
This is a fucking time management episode, whether or not you people listen to believe this.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of time elements with this. I'm not believing it. This is pretty heavy duty stuff though.
Yeah. Because this is, you're there, you're waiting and you're like, we have a certain amount of time. And all the work that went in, the prep work that went into this transaction.
And I could only do this at a certain time of day.
Yeah. Tell this story. I think it's a great story. We can cut it out if you don't like it.
I actually had a joke about it, but nobody knows it's real. And I didn't tell them about the main part of it.
I love this.
So some guy messaged early on and I'm a very curious person. Just keep that out in the open. So he was like, I'd like you to
do it.
Poop in the panties. And I was like, oh, you want me to just smear them with poo? And he's like, no, I want you to poop in panties. And I was like, oh. And I think I actually said, you're shitting me. Anyways,
see, look at that.
He laughed. He lolled.
Double time. Selling panties and writing material.
It was amazing. And I kept going back and forth with him. And I was very curious about I had a very strong curiosity about scat. I did. I was very curious about it. I do not find it sexually
attractive, you're curious what other people find.
I'm like, why do people get into this?
Right.
Everything about it screams no.
I wonder about that all the time.
And I did something. I put a whole ad about being into it so I would get responses and I asked a whole bunch of people why they got into it and I learned a lot. Anyway.
Okay.
I can tell you about that later. But so this guy, he was into the poo and I was like, what do you want me to do? And he's like, I'd like you to record yourself pooping into a piece of Tupperware and with your panties on, and then the panties will go on top of the poo and then you'll deliver the poop to me in the Tupperware. And I was like, what? That's crazy. And he's like, yeah, just wrap it in a lot of bags and no one will know. And I was like, you're not going to actually, you're going to stand me up. This is a big joke. He's like, no, it's not. And he's like, I'll give you. And so we were talking about money and he was like, I'll give you I think he said 400. I think he started at 350 and I was like, with the video, 400.
I can't believe you didn't go much higher.
I know. I didn't know what I was doing. So so I actually did it. I recorded myself pooping in some Tupperware.
I love everything about this.
And she was able to shoot it and edit it in just 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to wait until the morning.
$400.
Yep. He wanted it right away. I was like, I'm a morning person. You're going to have to wait. So then I wrapped the poo, as he told me to, in all these like garbage bags and one very thick one. And he was right. You couldn't smell anything. So he was like, meet me at a Five Guys.
Did he do this?
Of
he,
course he, it he, was a he, Five done this Guys. Before. Jesus.
That's what it sounded like. So I was like, he's legit.
He knew how to wrap it.
He talked about it. Like he knew. And I was like, are you going to send me a video of you using it or anything? He was like, I can. I was like, okay.
Really?
I was really curious to see what he would do. I was curious. I don't know if I could have watched much, but anyway, so I have a mind that's hard to stop. Anyway, so I get it all ready. I put it in a special book bag, not with my normal stuff. I put it on. I'm telling, he's like, can you send me the video now so I can get ready? And I was like, oh, I'd rather wait. And he's like, no, please just send it to me now. And I was like, okay, stupid move. This was in the very beginning.
Yeah.
So I get to, I'm like near my job. I'm like, okay, are you close? And I was going to go over the Five Guys. And he said, oh, he's like, oh, I have to, give me another 10 minutes and I'll be there. So I go up to my work with the poop in the bag. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to head over there now. And he's like, oh, bad news. My mom's house just burnt down and I have to go. And she's in the hospital. I was like, oh, you tricked me. And he's like, no, this is true. And I was like, no, it's not. You tricked me for my poop
no
video.
One's mom's house.
Yeah. I was like, that's
burnt.
Not
what?
True.
That's crazy. What?
And then the best part is that he was like, well, I didn't think you were actually going to do it.
What a
shut the fuck up.
I was like, I have a bag full of poop here. I carried it. I took it on the train and you're not going to meet me for this. And then guess what I do next?
What?
Because I'm a hard worker. I put an ad out on Craigslist. I'm like, I have a Tupperware of poop. Who wants it? But nobody was like, oh, it's not fresh. And it didn't end up working out. And I was like, damn it. And then I threw it away in a random garbage.
Oh man, that Tupperware.
Yeah. It was Chinese food Tupperware, so at least I didn't use like my good stuff.
Yeah.
But how funny that I carted around.
It's amazing. Well, that's my,
I love everything.
I just can't believe
this.
You flaked out. Like, I think it's a point that you. No, I think that if someone goes through the commitment of making someone do that,
But that's the thing is there's no commitment. He's just saying, do this and then send me the video. And then he gets a video.
He got a free video of me pooping. Which he even criticized because he's like, you weren't supposed to slide your thong over. You're supposed to leave it in the way. So he definitely was into poop.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. And you never got paid for it?
No, nothing. So I was like, well, just send me money for the video.
I'm kind of, like, this might be my favorite person in New York City. Like, this piece of shit. Yeah, and yes, I know.
He is literally the biggest piece of shit in New York City.
I love him.
Wow, yeah, that's some fucking nerve.
And see, and that's a good, but and that's also a good example of just the fortitude of Julie Katakis.
Yeah,
I mean, I swear to God, I want to copy everything you do because you have a good attitude. You're very calm, and you're doing so much extra stuff. Most people can't go to a day job and then make it to the gym.
And just holding it all together and having a sense of humor about all of it.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Well, you know, you just got to stay focused. That's the theme.
Yep. Stay focused. Stick to it.
I think that's
cut yourself
time,
off.
Time. Pegging. Right. Staying focused.
Yes. And follow your dreams. Mine involves some poo stories.
Oh my
I chased
God.
That dream. It didn't work out, but I got a fun story out of it that I've never told anyone but you.
Oh my God. I'm so happy that
I'm
you told
so
that.
I'm so glad that you told us.
Show. That's amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that a great story?
It's a great story.
And then instead of getting bummed out, because how many times when we're trying to do something with our lives and things don't work out, you submit to a festival, you apply for a job, you try to do something, you get rejected, you go, you know what? Fuck this. I'm done. And you give up because it's too hard to get up and try at something every day.
Yeah.
This woman... It's got a lot of shit going on already.
Literally, yes.
Yep, literally. She had it in her arms. And when this guy stood her up, she posted an ad for it on the internet at a break from her day job. She did not give up.
I kept the poo in the bottom drawer of the desk just in the hopes that maybe someone will purchase it. But
see,
I was like, I got a video. And they were like, I'll take the video. I was like, no, you also take the poop. I didn't do this for nothing.
God. You just got to.
It's a package deal.
It's a yeah. yeah.
It's a very inspirational. You're such an inspiration. Well, I think to everybody know. Listening. You yeah. know.
Well, you got to keep.
Well,
at
where
it.
Can we follow all of your things?
Yes, that is a fabulous inspirational note.
More stories. Maybe not poo related.
No, they're not usually poo related. The most fun is Facebook for me. That's where I enjoy myself the most. So, on there, right?
Yeah, you're on there, and then we. What, you have Instagram? You don't put videos on Instagram?
No, I don't really use it much. I really just put pictures of my kid on there. Because before, you couldn't upload more than 15 seconds or something. And I know now it's they've changed now. It. Yeah. So I should now do that. I just wasn't because it wasn't a possibility at the time. But yeah.
Yeah, Julie Katakis. Go find her on Facebook. Watch all our videos. And then hopefully you'll have like a YouTube thing set up. I will be shocked if you are not on SNL or something. I mean, it's insane. You're so funny.
Goodness.
Jammers.
Jam-a-lam.
What is a jam-a-lam? So this is an app?
It's more like a shout out. Good things happen and then bad things happen. And then good things happen and then sometimes
bad. Yeah, but no one wants to fucking talk about the good things, Steven.
That's why this podcast is only about good things. That's why I fucking need you to.
Well, that's
because I can't do this on my own.
Well, Steven's all fired up because Jam-a-lams worked.
I am.
I know.
Actually,
this is the most excited I've ever seen Steven.
I've been walking around here like the fucking Monopoly man.
I know. I'm excited.
Like we figured it out. We started a business. We started a business and it worked.
We started.
I love that Steven doing well is always going to involve a monocle and coattails and a top hat.
I love that. Yeah. I'm in.
That's just.
I'm going to John D. Rockefeller the shit out of this podcast.
I love. This is Steven the whole time. It's like, man, I want to get a membership to Soho House. And I'm like, remember we were on our friend date? Yeah. I'm like, I want to move to the Upper West Side. And he's like, this part of town sucks. Everything sucks. He creates jam-a-lams. We sell one jam-a-lam and he's posting all his stuff on Instagram is like hashtag like wallstreet.com.
Yeah,
I saw you. You son of a bitch.
You got my subtext there?
Yeah, I did get your subtext. One, he has a great idea. He makes one sale. We get one sale and he's just like, we're going big time.
Yep.
Oh yeah, but he's like ready to go to Shark Tank and get investors. He's like, okay.
I called Barbara Corcoran this afternoon.
This is a viable product.
And he describes it in there like, so commercials. That's
literally. And he's like, no. Jam-a-lamps.
Right.
Yeah, it's commercials.
Right.
Guys, you aren't getting it. Yeah.
No, wait. Commercial.
People name their price. Oh, so it's even worse than commercials?
Right.
No. Yes.
Here's the thing. Jam-a-lams are commercials for everyone.
Yeah, they're commercials for the people.
Like a classified. Okay.
He's about to say he's about to pat himself on the back for being real punk rock right here, right now. Punk rock of me.
You're going to try to take this capitalist venture and somehow put a socialist spin, but a jam-a-lam for everybody if you have $20.
A jam-a-lam is a socialist commercial.
That's all, not a thing.
So, Wendy, what's our first jam-a-lam? We have our very first jam-a-lam.
Yeah, this is super exciting because we got, so this is, oh God, and it would be someone, Melanie, we love you, but it would be someone whose name last name is difficult to pronounce. Are you
every
French?
Every last name is difficult
Melanie
to pronounce.
Melanie Saleh?
I'm going to say Saul.
Saul?
See, I'm going to go with Saul too.
I'm going to go but with like, Melanie. So, yeah, and pretend she's French.
No. Ooh.
I did that.
Okay.
Just
Melanie, I promise we'll spell your name.
Yeah.
So people can find you.
Yeah, we'll put it. Melanie's dope because
No, Melody did this so correctly.
She gave us
very
ad copy.
Yeah.
And
no, I feel like a fucking professional.
Yeah.
I know.
And Melanie, quick double shout out. She also purchased quinoa.
Wow.
On Bandcamp for two.
Well,
for two
I mean,
bucks.
Who hasn't?
That's true.
It's the song of the last month of summer. Yep. That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yo, for sure. It is now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Put it on your Spotify playlist.
Yeah. It's awesome. So Melanie, you're a bad bitch. And yeah, she gave us real ad copy.
All right. How you want to do this?
Do we want to just break it up?
You do.
I think step one, I think we should read it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
I was going to interpretive dance it. And have
I would not put it past you.
And then
you've been watching Westworld. You don't know if language is real anymore.
I was going to interpretive dance and then have you describe it using only clicks.
Jam-a-lam.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
First Jam-a-lam ad copy from Melanie. Here's my Jam-a-lams!
I know, I think you should cut that part
out. Fuck! Professionalism. You ready?
Jammer lamps.
I'm going to let you have that. You want someone to design slash build you a website? I don't want to say slash. Let me try that again. Hey, do you, you guys need someone to help design and build your website?
Of course.
Maybe, of course, who doesn't? I actually do need that. Maybe you're
I wish we'd hired someone.
I could have really used someone to upgrade Jam Lambs.
Yeah, no shit.
Not going to lie. If Melanie would have emailed
Melanie, where were you when Steven was making the site for you to send this jam?
We technically only have $20 from Jam Lambs, so we don't have enough to afford Melanie yet, but it's okay. I'm just glad Jam Lambs is working.
I know. It's great. I need this for my website. Oh, I read this and I got excited. I was like, girl.
Everyone needs a good web designer.
I know. So, okay, here we go. Maybe you're just too busy to do it yourself. Or, ding, 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 you don't know how. That's me. I choose.
That's probably, let's go, people. 99% of the people listening to this.
Hmm. Okay, I've got a lot of, I have more than enough time to stare at my computer and go, I don't get it, and cry. Okay, so what are we going to do? You need a website. You don't know how to do it. You don't got time. You don't got time? Okay, Wendy.
This is, we're making Christina's ad reads look like a master class.
First of all, look, Melanie's in grad school, okay? She put a lot of mileage on her car driving around before she was able to start her career. And so she's trying to get some money back, all right? She knows how to build a website for you. Her company's called Cozy Corner Designs, all right?
Dude, she has like 7 years of design and photography experience. Is that like photography?
Oh, here we go. Tell me more, Megan.
Am I supposed to do it now? Oh, Jesus.
Just feeling the MLM stock dropping.
Okay. So, like Wendy said, you go to Cozy Corner Web Design.
You go to court.
Get the website right. Cozy Corner Web Design.
That's what I said.
Clear. Crystal clear. Jesus. Put it in your brains.
Okay, guys, go there, fill out the form for consultation, which is on her Hire Me page. That's not to hire me, Megan, because that would be a terrible idea, but to hire Melanie, the person who actually knows what she's doing and probably can speak out loud too a lot better than us. And add that you heard about this from Jammers. And check this out. You get a 10% discount.
That's pretty cool. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, P.S. I love the podcast. Hashtag oatmeal man. We've got a fan.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So Cozy Corner Web Design. Melanie.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we love you.
Yeah, thank you. We're sorry we can't read.
I think that was good when there was like a lot of emotion to it.
Well, here's the thing. Because people sometimes think that like we script stuff on the show. That, right. Like it's not organic. So we just proved that's not true.
Right.
There's because no, in order to script something, we would have to then read it.
Right. We'd have to be able to read things. I love this. And this is a cool, she's starting her own company. She's trying to pay her way through school.
I'm just
so
excited that we put out this idea into the world and someone hit us back and was like, I get what you're doing. Here we go. Here's my business.
Yeah.
And it's something that everyone needs all the time, including us. We did the Jammers website, but I still need to launch my personal website.
Right. And honestly, and I am going to talk shit because these people are not paying us right now, so I don't care. So Squarespace and all that, I know that they sponsor a lot of podcasts and I'm sure they're great and I love them and everyone says it's user-friendly and easy. Every time I have tried to do that, it has gone very badly. Go to my website, wendystarling.com. It's not good. It is not good.
You know what's more user-friendly and easy than Squarespace? Cozy Corner Design.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
you know why? Because she's doing it for you.
Yeah. And she's not just like inputting information. She's got the background in photography and design. So she's going to make it look cool.
And you're putting it through grad school.
I know.
Do you mean photography?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
It was really good. Photography. I was like, wait, hold on. She has experience in what?
Okay. And the final jam sesh. More jam-a-lam. Jam.
God, Steven.
Damn it, I'm mixing up my jam.
The final jam session. Are we ending the podcast?
No. We're just getting started.
He's going into business as an ad man. He thinks he's Don Draper.
He's like, this is over. I'm starting my own ad company.
With bitches who could read.
I need to give a shout out to my good friends at Hyperballad Studios. Hyperballad Studios did all the music for Jammers, and I never properly shouted them out because we got so sucked up in making it that it just missed my thing. So hyperballad music.com, they have a beautiful studio in Brooklyn, and they do music for ads. So if you are yourself, like me, a huge advertising executive and you need that analog synth sound, all the stuff is like genuine real deal, old school Neve console analog synth. It's the real shit. They can make that Stranger Things soundtrack all day.
They're great. They are awesome. All the clips that we heard of them, and they're fucking cool.
Yeah.
And they did a lot of music for us. They did. They gave us
tons of music. All the stuff in the teasers and the trail. It's fucking awesome. JB and Rob Niederpruhn, they are my good friends. And thank you so much for doing that, you guys. And if you're looking for music, you can still buy Quinoa in all the stores, but especially Bandcamp. Throw us those sweet, sweet Bandcamp dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get to it, because we're going to sell out of internet downloads any day now.
Put it in your playlist.
It's flying off the shelves.
Right.
It's internet shelves.
We can't manufacture enough of them.
It's flying off the virtual shelves. There are no real shelves anyway, you guys. This is all simulation. Oh, that is a joke. There's a bullet in my midsection. I really like that show, Westworld. That's what I want my website to be. I want a website that somehow is also like a video game.
So, Melanie, if you would like to create the Matrix.
Go to cozycornerwebdesign.com. Yeah, and if you mention us, you get 10% off. That's pretty goddamn cool.
Yeah.
Support.
That's 0.1% off.
Right.
And now you guys know what a jam-a-lam is. So you can go to jammers.com, buy yourself a jam-a-lam. Yeah. It's whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Anything. Hey, yeah,
we'll talk shit about your friends. We'll advertise your business. We'll talk shit about your friend's business.
We'll answer any questions you want.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about whatever weird.
Ask us stuff. Pay us.
Questionably legal thing. Whatever you could do on the back page of Craigslist or whatever.
Can I just ask, Steven, what amount of money can someone jam-a-lam that we can get you to reveal your age?
Get me to reveal my age?
Yeah.
If you did the $5,000 jam-a-lam copy, which I do believe we sell as a corporate sponsorship / orgasm volcano.
Yeah.
Melanie, I'm going to hit you up and you're going to help me figure out how to create a secret tab on our website that Steven doesn't know about that people can just start siphoning money into until we reach a $5,000 and he'll have to produce his birth certificate.
An age.
This
pool.
Is great. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we love you. Is that needy?
It's
no,
a little
that's
needy.
Genuine.
No, I think you guys are great. Needy. And I want to give a special now. I got to give a special shout out. Tay Tay on SoundCloud comments constantly. And I talk to her like every other day commenting on SoundCloud. And it's usually when I've had a couple glasses of wine. So
Tay Tay.
So that's any time of day.
Right. So that's usually around noon. So Tay Tay, thanks for listening and commenting. And
Tay Tay has figured out that we will respond. And just keep those comments.
Yeah, it's fun.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. It's nice. All right, great. Go buy a jam-a-lam. We love you. We'll talk to you guys later. Something, give us more of that something.